A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our first day of our annual retreat. This is our August month end 2024 annual retreat, where we will have only 8 days instead of our usual 9 days, because National Day is a holiday, 31st. If we extend it to 31st, we will have some, you call it logistic problem, the traffic and all this thing, and the helper won't be available. So because of that, we decide to fix it for 8 days, okay? So now you turn to your program. After that, I'll go through with you. So for our official puja, which we will have it at the altar here, we will do it tonight. Tonight is what time? After dinner, is it? 是吗? Yeah, 有一个 after dinner 的是吗? Yeah, I supposed to have opening puja followed by briefing and other things. So this opening puja has been shifted, shifted to tonight. 6:45 to 7:15. So instead of evening chanting, we will have our puja. Then we will continue. Okay, good. So we will have a simple puja. You can take out your this chanting book, the normal one, not the retreat one. Then we will do the usual from Mahayana to Theravada, like I did in the Tuesday class and our Thursday class. Except here, there are more groupings, so I will recite more of them. Then we can have our pre-simple puja before we start. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence our puja chanting. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Wen Su Pusa. Namo Wen Su Pusa. Namo Wen Su Pusa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā virammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi ādinādānā virammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi kāmesu micchācārā Virammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā virammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmerāyā majjhāpamādatthana Virammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujemi. Dhammaṃ pujemi. Sanghaṃ pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Take out your program sheet. Yeah? We will go through the program sheet. Yeah? So, the title is Meditation Retreat at Mahayana Triple Gem or Sempo Temple, Brinchang, Cameron Highland, dated 23rd August, Friday, to 30th August, Friday. Eh? Means Friday to Friday, 2024. So this retreat is conducted by me, Brad Thiel. Introduction. This meditation retreat's Dhamma sharing is suitable for all participants who may be from different Buddhist tradition or background with varying meditation experiences. The emphasis here is on understanding the Buddha Dhamma and the awareness-based meditation as taught by the Buddha instead of focusing on methods and techniques of meditation. This program was prepared to allow the participant to settle down slowly in the retreat proper. We are a less stringent first session where more Dhamma sharing and understanding of the teaching will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session, which is from 27th of August till 30th of August, where noble silence, heedfulness and actual meditative training will be fully exercised or emphasized. Yeah. So this is to allow those who participate at the retreat, especially you all, so that you can settle down slowly before we give you longer hour of meditation and contemplative inquiry, second turning, training to develop the second turning wisdom. So basically, in the Buddhist tradition as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha, there are three types of wisdom that you can develop based on his three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. The first turning corresponds to Suttamaya Panya, which is a wisdom developed through hearing. During the time of the Buddha, you can only hear or listen. You don't have recording. You don't have what we are having nowadays, or the what they call advancement in technology, where we can do the video, the recording, and all the various sharing, which has been made so much easier. So yesterday, when the Singaporean retreatant came to my house, they taught me something also. They said, "Brother, ChatGPT introduced me in a very nice way. I also didn't know until they forward to me." So now we have all this AI thing. But what they refer to is fairly good enough, but they don't really have full understanding. But like Sui say, I believe, it must be through their AI network. They're able to track down what I do. All the books I publish in Amazon.com also they know. And basically from the comments that they receive from people who download and listen, it seems they say a lot of people listen. Then they find it very different, because he said, "I emphasize on awareness-based meditation. Then I try to teach the true understanding of the teaching, which is seldom taught. And because of that, there is a lot of good feedback. That's why all this, they are able to be presented by ChatGPT. But I went into Google. Google sent out another list of different things. Because Google one, I think since the early day before ChatGPT was born, they already tracked my things. So I was so surprised when one of my classmates contacted me. Said, "Dio." I say, "Why?" He said, "Your name, I try to find where you are." He was actually searching for me. After a long time, didn't catch up with me. He Googled. I came out with so much thing inside there. You know? All my teaching and my books, everything was there. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said. Then one of the lunch we met, he told me, in secret, separately, when we were at the toilet, he said, "What you do is very good for the world." He said, "Keep it up." He said, he is not a Buddhist. He is not spiritual. But when he grow old, he start to become spiritual. Because old age catch up. No longer career orientated. No longer the aggressive corporate life and all those things. So he told me he also do a lot of charity. He set up a lot of charity home. He is quite famous in Malacca. So he's a lawyer by profession. So all this, they come to be because of technology. But be careful. Technology is a double-edged sword. If you know how to use technology wisely, then technology is very, very important, very useful. But if you don't know how to actually develop the Dhamma understanding to choose appropriately, it can also bring about a lot of negative influence to society. So like what I explained to Brother Casey, Gong Chai, Michael, and Brother Teo, Bing fear. I every time got the last word wrongly pronounced. I say, don't blame technology. Technology is here to stay, understand or not? You like it or not. The user of technology is very important. So the meaning is very deep. It's like money. Money is neither good or evil. A lot of people don't understand. They say, when you have too much money, money is the source of evil. Because of money, you do a lot of evil deeds and evil things. But then, how can you blame money? Money is neither good or evil. It's the user. If you don't know how to use money, you use it for evil thing, negative thing, then money become evil. But it's the user that go that direction, anasana. So if you are a cultivator who understand the importance of appropriately applying all this technology and money, then money can become very wholesome. It can help a lot of people. Like I shared this morning, this Sampo Temple, they did a lot of very wholesome activity that can help cultivator of the way develop the Dhamma understanding and transform their life. Just like Cindy shared with them. After hearing my YouTube, my sharing over the last 4 over years, he haven't met me until Sister Ingvi one day. Somehow they live nearby. He decided to come. Then he said, after listening for 4 years, he realized he has listened to a lot of Buddhist teaching and talk, but none of them can click so clearly and so well. That's why after that, when she attended my class, she said, everything is so clear, brother. Then to give faith to the Singaporean, this is real life example and witness that you can actually come to experience and know for yourself. So it's not about technology or money or who the teacher is or what. It's you, understand? Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. You are what you are because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you can do whatever you like. Your life will not change, understand? Like you believe in feng shui, you believe in maybe the so-called bomo or namolo or whatever, understand? Or you believe in, sometimes they tell you, you believe in this, you receive eternal salvation and all things. You can go and believe. But what the Buddha has realized is, your life is determined by what? Karma, isn't it? We are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. If you don't take care of karma and you go and believe all these things, you can go and try. See whether it changed your life or not. It will never change your life. But please don't get me wrong. Otherwise, all the Bomo Namolo all come after me. Or Feng Shui Master will come after me. I mean, they have their society's what they call usage. Especially Feng Shui, it has its signs. It's not completely no use. But if the main one is karma, you don't take care, you believe in all this, which won't change much of your life, then it's up to you. Means you don't have the understanding. If you have the understanding, you should focus on the one that determine your life, not on all those that hardly really determine or change your life. So this is the part that I want you all to understand before I go in. Okay, with that explained, now I go into the main purpose and intent of this retreat. When you go through this, you will understand the importance of meditative training, the importance of having a retreat environment and condition, to enable you to go deep into it. Because I realize many people, when they are in the midst of living life in their lay activity, even some who are retired, yeah, many of them actually very determined, after I retire, I'm going to be serious, I'm going to go all out. I think like the Singaporean, the three of them, I think they are dead serious. They went to a lot of retreat. And Gong Chai told me, he said, "But Tio, he also you allow handphone, never mind." I have been to retreat, 10 days, phone confiscated, cannot use. So I said, never mind. Whatever that is rigid, very difficult to have the Dhamma understanding. But Dhamma is dependent originating condition arising. Each year you wave, you cannot be rigid. When condition cease to be, everything change and cease to be. But when there is condition for thing to arise, it will manifest. So how can you be fixed and rigid in the way you live life and approach life? Even retreat is the same. Even though we also establish some form of rules, but like I explained to Kayamita, we should have gratitude towards Pachan Sufu, the temple committee, and all those people who have given us the kind permission to hold all our annual retreat for the last past 12 to 13 years. Because this is their way place, their temple, and they have their own rules. Understand? So we have to comply. Not to say we want to make life difficult for you. All the duty that was drafted by Padmasuri is not what she wants. It's to fulfill our agreement to the temple committee that when we have this gratitude and understanding to appreciate what they have given us, we undertake to deliver back everything according to what they want. Yeah. So that they have faith in us and trust us. There have been incidents where I went for a spiritual trip. There was one nunnery, I think, somewhere in Guizhou, I think, when we were on the trip to Fanqingshan. When our tour guide, Mr. Our Karamita also, try to approach them. Yeah, he know I like to visit temple and have short retreat there and all that. Then this nunnery, they were very apprehensive. Straight away they say no. Then Mr. Erbin, Mr. He very, I think his approach is different from last time. Now not so crude already. Not so like insistent already. He just talked to them nicely. He said, maybe I can explain to you my teacher who is coming. Or then he started to talk to them in a very nice way. He talked about our spiritual trip. He is the local guide from Malaysia. Then he has taken us on a trip. Then he witnessed all the happening. Then finally, because of what we did, the credential and all those things, the abbot agreed. He said, you must promise, don't be like the honky. He specifically mentioned the honky. I also don't know what they did. It seemed they created a mess out of it after they left. So they were very cautious. So when we have this in mind, I hope everyone that participate in the retreat, be appreciative and develop the training through sincerity and understanding. Then every time you meet the nun or the monk, put your hand together, show of respect. They like it. Well, this is what they expect. Cultivator of the way, these are the basic, what they call moral value that you express. Like the Buddha say, when you pay respect to the elders and the worthy one, four things grow. Ayu Wano Sukang Palang. You will have long life, Ayu. Wana, fair complexion. If you are a lady, most lady like fair complexion. Eh? But nowadays we also have black beauty. Understand? So no need to be fair also. You are pretty and attractive. Then Sukang is of course joy, happiness. Palang is strength, both physical and spiritual strength. So paying respect is a very wholesome, what they call mind state, or right thought, wholesome thought. Having gratitude, having respect for the Sangha member and those who are worthy of respect. All this is what the teaching is all about. And when you do, you reap what you sow. We are the law of karma, is like that. Yeah. People will respect you too. Understand? And people will also have gratitude towards you. And when you can become a blessing to the world after you have trained yourself and developed the Dhamma, you become very different. Okay? So now we go in the main purpose and intent. The first one is to understand and realize the noble teachings of Lord Buddha. We are sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness or apamada. As emphasized by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verses 21, 22, 23 and his final advice before his parinibbana. Apamadena sampadeta. So this is to enable you to understand his teaching and realize it so that you can also become enlightened, noble ones. This noble teaching can make you noble ones. So the uniqueness of this is to be sincere, to have the faith. Then when you cultivate with understanding, you will cultivate apamada or heedfulness straight away. Whatever meditation that never leads you back to the sati, leading to heedfulness, cannot penetrate the Dhamma that the Buddha is going to teach you. Finally, whatever you do, method or technique or training, if it don't get you back to the continuous mindfulness leading to heedfulness, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always remember that. Then the final heedfulness will develop the noble qualities of enlightened being. That is the noble eightfold path. If it doesn't bring you back to heedfulness leading to the cultivation of the noble eightfold path factor, which include the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, then it is not the teaching of Sakyamuni Buddha or the enlightenment that Sakyamuni Buddha is trying to explain to you. Okay? Then go on to number two. To train ourselves during the meditation session to develop a very stable daily mindfulness. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already mindful. That's why the very stable daily mindfulness is the silent mind with inner awareness. When you are aware, there is no thought. Just that nature aware. Like standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. All your action movement in the present moment aware. Even answering nature's call. Perceiving through your senses aware. Awareness is to bring you back to your true mind, your silent mind. If you cannot do that, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. Because this Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. And this one is, the teaching is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why it is sanditiko, akaliko, Ehipaseko and Opanaiko Pachetang. These are the characteristics of his teaching, the Dhamma that he teaches. If you meditate, cultivate and you don't realize this characteristic, then you are not doing it correctly. Understand? Sanditiko means this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now before you die. And this Dhamma is very unique. The Buddha said this Dhamma is Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is this Dhamma by the Buddha. And this Dhamma is Sanditiko. Then the second unique characteristic is Akaliko. Akaliko means it's beyond thought, beyond time, beyond psychological time. That's why in the last book I published, I explained it in one of the sharing in great detail. So these are the unique characteristics. If you use thought-based meditation, it's still within the field of thought. How can it has the characteristics of akaliko? The Dhamma that can be realized, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you need the sati leading to its stability, which is the inner awareness, to develop the silent mind to insight into phenomena via the direct seeing to awaken. To awaken via insight into the three characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. So all these are very clear. Okay? That's why to train yourself to develop, to train yourself during the meditation session to develop a very stable daily mindfulness, which means the silent mind with inner awareness, leading to heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat, which is today, anasana. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability and non-delusion as a sign of our respect for the Sampo temple way place. So this one is very important. When you have mindfulness and clear comprehension of these four things, you will never debate, you will never go wrong. Then number three, learn to be at ease, naturally relax and aware. We are heedfulness most of the time. Always move, speak, and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day. To stabilize your five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya cultivation until they become very stable and unshakable. So not able to be at ease, naturally relaxed and aware is where a lot of cultivators of the way, especially those who went for retreat, fail to progress because they don't have this treating. If I may also recall, and over the last 20 years of sharing, I heard a lot of Dhamma practitioner, meditator, cultivator, they tell me, but till before coming to your class, is it? Like what I said, is it? You go to retreat without understanding. You don't know what it is. You receive instruction. You follow instruction. And you become like so fearful. No? They say noble, silent. No? But they put the finger in front of their mouth. Understand? No? Is this noble, silent? Eh? Like that? Is this noble silence? This is don't talk, isn't it? Don't talk is different from noble silence. No? You may be without chattering, no? Or what they call, you don't speak out, you don't chatter, you don't do a lot of things. But internally, you know, it's not quiet, no? Heedlessly, lost in thought, no? And most of this is the chattering inside, there is like a commentator, you know? Everything you perceive, you comment inside there, you understand? And this internal dialogue, yeah, which has been going on for so long, cannot stop. So what they did is, they try not to talk, but they find it very difficult. Then when they are asked to sit, because their normal meditation program, I think you all have seen before, they never explain all this and teach you how to do it. They just have a lot of sitting, walking. Throughout the day, you do that. And a lot of them sit until very painful, but they not complain, they not move. Sometimes, answer nature's call also, they not, when you fart inside there and all those things. So all this is, what I saw is making them miserable. Then I used to share with the Kamita, you go for a retreat, is to develop the peace, the tranquility and the relaxation of mind, yeah? To be joyful, yeah? To be happy. Yeah? You don't go there to torture yourself, yeah? And make yourself miserable. Yeah? Then you go for a retreat for what? Then the thought will say, why so stupid? I must well stay at home, have a nice coffee, go char kway teow and all those things. Especially before the retreat ends, all the thought will come, after this I'm going to have char kway teow first. I'm going to have whatever I like. So this mind, which is the mundane mind, is so conditioned and habitual. So these are the things that will evolve around people who don't have the understanding and the training. That's why all this become problem. So when they come to my retreat, it's totally opposite, reverse. Yeah. And then my daughter remind me that to the new people, Singaporean, you don't panic when later on they meditate. A lot of them lie down, they snore. Don't worry. Most of them now snore one sound only, stop only. But there are some very tired after driving so long. They tend to snore. Can snore means what? You are very tired and you are resting your body. True or not? So, need to rest. Why worry about all these things? But certain retreat you go, cannot make noise or no. You drop something or you talk, everybody look at you until you paise, you get out. So when rules are set in such a manner, then it is not easy to develop understanding. What I want to emphasize to you is the number three, at ease. Yeah? Then naturally relax. And the last one is what? Aware means what? Inner awareness, mindful, understand not? You don't believe me, after you sit until you very boring idea, especially you cannot settle down. The thought keep on coming. Then a lot of this unfinished business keep on worrying you and all those things. Then you look around. Anybody move, you also move. If nobody move, you also dare not move. Then sometimes you make use of the excuse to go toilet. Please, don't do that. If you are in such a situation, the best way I recommend is go for a walk. Understand? Go for a walk. Relax, natural walk. You feel very good. You settle down and calm down very fast. And then you compare. Why you sit here like a monkey mind, cannot calm down? Because human being is a gregarious being and you know what is gregarious? Need companion, need to move around. Understand? Cannot sit still. Like the boy, our kids, young that time, he said, don't go out, sit, don't play. You hope for your best. The moment you turn away, that guy become very wild already. Because they are not used to that type of thing. So meditation is the same. You force people to sit like that. I tell you, a lot of them can go crazy. But there are some very determined ones. they want to experience meditation. So they sit, you know, they endure, you know, actually they're torturing themselves. But finally, they get some form of peace and calm. Then they think that's it. Sure, day in and day out for so long, you sit and do just that method and technique, or the object of meditation, you just focus and go, you sure become peaceful, but not long. After that, you lost it, you again go and chase for it, and then you think, ayo, why like that? Sometimes peaceful, sometimes not peaceful. Then you compare, last retreat very good, after don't know how many days, I settled down. Why you need to go through all this? When you understand awareness-based meditation, which most karmita understand, you just relax and enjoy down there, but don't sleep, maintain awareness. Then the relaxation comes, it's more peaceful than you go for a quiet walk. A quiet walk already make you very peaceful and very relaxed. Then you come back, you settle down, you sit. It's very different. Then when you do your mindfulness training, then after that you sit. Even the morning exercise, after you exercise a bit, you relax, then you sit. You silence your mind. The four support, very fast you settle down. And you become very quiet, very still, very calm. And here the energy is very strong. The stillness energy there. The moment you are without thought, you are with it already. Then it will do its work for you. You don't need to do anything. That nature's vibration will go in and transform you. So this is what meditation is all about. Okay? So I have to move faster. Number four. With the stable daily mindfulness or awareness nature within, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path via constant creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, leading to the perfection of all the Noble Eightfold Path of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. So this is similar to what the Buddha said, avoid all evil. Incapable of evil means when you are heedful, when you are mindful, when you have the understanding, you are incapable of evil. So like J. Krishnamurti used to share, the absence of evil is good. Don't try to do good. This is very deep in its meaning. Who is trying to do good? The mundane mind, the thought process is trying to do good. That good is relative, conventional good. Good according to you. Good according to the individual. And that is not the true so-called wholesome thought or wholesome action and speech that nature's law defines. The absence of evil means, like the Buddha said, the absence of the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion in all of your action, speech and thought process. When you can do that, that's why the Buddha said, when you can do that, means you can avoid all evil. Avoiding all evil means the absence of evil. And by nature, if you are like that, how can you do wrong thing? True or not? That's why the absence of evil is good. Able to avoid all evil, naturally you are good. You cannot do all those things anymore. So their teachings are similar, but put in different words. So I read the last one, the last paragraph. To maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day, so that we can have the condition to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to awaken, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to realization of Nibbana, which is a cessation of form and mind as taught by the Buddha. Number five, to diligently develop understanding of the following essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. So this one, the five mental hindrances, the Pancha Nivaranas, which are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. So this one, I hope you all already study them. So I don't have time in the retreat to repeat all this. Then the next essential Dhamma is the five spiritual faculty, which are the opposite, pancha indriyas. When you have the five spiritual faculty, it will enable you to understand spiritual teaching. And they are sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Means faith in the Buddha and his teaching, sadha. Virya is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to move this way. Sati is mindfulness. Then stability or sati is samadhi. The mind, which is a free mind, that is collected and unwavering. Then panya is wisdom. So these five spiritual faculties will counter the mental hindrance. When you have them, your mind is automatically in a meditative state. Where all these five spiritual faculties will prevent the mental hindrance from arising. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. And with that, you can understand spiritual teaching. Then the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, we will expand on it. Eh? The three right views of Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, the dwelling of Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination, which is also called the dwelling Paticca Samuppada. There's another Pali word, they call it Itta Pacciyata, also same meaning. That is how you function as a human being, means how your mind operates. Yeah. That's why it's called Citta Niyama. And finally is Dhamma Niyama, the law of truth. Then the Four Noble Truths and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment, or what we call Satta Bhujanga. Then Dana, Sila, and Bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. So as far as Dana, Sila, and Bhavana, you all understand it. Yeah? Anybody don't understand? Huh? Anybody? Or I word it the other way around. How many understand? You have people shy to put up their hand on. Only a few understand. The rest? Do you understand the Pali word? Okay, now we try. What is Dana? Huh? Dana is generosity, yes. Generosity, huh? Got R or not? Got R? Generosity, yeah? Correct or not? Huh? Correct, huh? So, whenever people talk about dana, for Buddhists, they always talk about offering food to monks. No? That is not the only dana. No? That is one of the dana expression that you can do. Understand? No? Dana is generosity. As long as you are generous, if you can donate, that is also dana parami. Understand? No? Then the gift of truth is also dana parami. Then when you radiate metta, loving kindness, that is also dana parami. Understand? It doesn't mean must be materialistic. So all this understanding is very important. Then there is what the Buddha said, sila. What is sila? Morality. Then last one. Bhavana is actually the meditative training. And here, bhavana, they subdivide it into two part, samadhi and panya. So these two is actually what bhavana is. So you heard of sila, samadhi, and panya, isn't it? Without morality, you cannot develop samadhi. Why? Huh? You know why or not? If you don't keep your sila, you cannot develop the real samadhi. Because most people don't believe this, though, because they go into one-pointedness, concentration, jhana and all those things. He said, I don't have to keep my sila, but I can train my mind and develop samadhi. Why you say cannot? What the Buddha meant is, here, if you don't keep your moral value means what? You break your five precepts, correct or not? If you break your five precepts, means you violate what? The nature's law of karma and so on. Well, whoever break the five precepts, you go and check, they constitute major evil. You know? Even the first precept, panatipata viramani sikha padam samadhi yami, means what? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill? Who will cause harm? Deluded people, selfish people, and violent, aggressive people. True or not? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. That's why when you have this evil root in your mind state, these are major evil. You know, and it will make you evil. You know, bring about karmic negativity. You know. That's how your karmic what they call inheritance fall. And when all of your karmic become like that, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, you are what you are because of karma, do you think you can have peace? If you kill and harm, police also come after you. You know? People take revenge against you. And you lie, deceive, steal, commit sexual misconduct, go and intoxicate yourself, take drug, take intoxicant. Do you think your life will be normal, peaceful, and you can settle down to meditate, to develop the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind? The fear, worry, anxiety will haunt you, understand or not? That's why without sila, samadhi cannot kick in. You cannot be in a state of relax in a way where you will have fear, worry, anxiety. And karmic is like that. Whatever you do, you reap what you sow, it will hit back at you. That's why I have gone through with Kayamita. In our Heart Sutta later we will go through. There are three aspects of karma that you have to be careful. First is the retribution karma. That one you are born with here one. Your DNA, your who are your parents, under what environment, you cannot change one. So you don't take care of karma, don't blame anybody why this lie your DNA like that and how come you are born into such a family. You remember that story? I used to share this. Microsoft, who is the owner? Bill Gates. Last time he mentioned it, you know, while in the uni or what, high school, he liked a girl, but because he's so square, that girl don't like him. No. Then later on, he became Bill Gates and so famous. No. Then the story went by, I don't know true or not. Somebody mentioned that girlfriend married to another guy. They have another kid. No. Then he relayed the story. Actually, last time Bill Gates was after me, you know. Then the son say, what, no? My mother's stupid. Otherwise, I Bill Gates' son. No? He think he can become Bill Gates' son. You don't have the Dhanaparami. Bill Gates' son got Dhanaparami. And not Dhanaparami. the retribution inheritance. Understand? If you don't have, you cannot be. Even you can say if, not a reality already. Okay? So that is retribution. The other one is activity. Like when you come out to work or when you become an ordinary living being. Who are your neighbor? Who are your sibling? Who are your parents? Who are your boss, colleague? And all those that you come into contact with. That one is activity coming, retribution. You cannot blame, why my boss like that? Why my wife like that? Well, in the past, you did that to them. Not to her in particular, but you reap what you sow. Now you become the victim. Maybe now your wife nag you, do all this. Then you say, how can my wife be like that? But in the past, when you nag your wife, you didn't know. Understand? Then now you become the wife. Understand? Somebody else nag you. That is activity karma. Then your boss will say, he harass you, he put fear in you, management by fear and harassment, force you to deliver. You say, how can I have this type of boss? In the past, when you boss, you also like that, very bossy. You go around it. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you will not do something out to others that you don't want others to do out to you. Understand? I think the Christian got that type of saying. So, if you understand the law of karma, you will not do all these things. Well, it has its repercussion, karmic repercussion. Then the last one is affliction karma. Affliction means severe suffering that you do to people. Got condition, manifest already. So if you don't have sila, you don't have condition to really meditate and progress. So samadhi cannot kick in. Without samadhi, there is no sati. So here, samadhi is actually the two power factor of sati plus samadhi. That is the samadhi power factor. So with sati and samadhi, what happens is your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil. It can have the direction. It can see things as they are and awaken. Means what? You develop panya, nasana, wisdom. That's why with sila, samadhi kick in, then you can see things as they are, and insight in the phenomena and awaken. This is why sila, samadhi, and panya come in. And this is Noble Eightfold Path. And these two are under bhavana. Then dana, why he advised you to have dana? Because without dana, you don't have dana parami, you won't be able to receive the favorable condition for you to have the good life, which is conducive for you to learn the Dhamma. Understand? Like this life, my nature come with this form and mind, you call Brother Teo, is self-sufficient. I don't need anything. I don't lack anything. Understand? That's why when young, I can contemplate, reflect, and inquire about life. Then I can do what I want to do in life. Then now, after I grew up, what my father did for me, I appreciate. Then when my next generation children, like Sui and my son, I want to provide them with better condition. I say, what my father gave me is already very good. But if I have the condition to make their life better, I say, go ahead and do what you want to do. Because they don't have to be like me during the 60s and the 70s. Go through all those things. What I want to explain is, I am from the first generation. My parents came from China. And first generation kids, I think most of you know, you have to earn your own, what they call financial success and freedom. Means it will take you at least 10 to 15 years to build up your financial stability, which is just to own a house, or understand, and have a decent car, then to have favorable life, not to say very good life. That itself, we have to sacrifice. You know? So I say, if I can, they don't have to struggle that 15 years. I gave them a head start. That's why I explained to the Singaporean that visited me. Well, there is condition. I said, you no need to strive so hard. What I want you to understand is understand life. Go to school, observe. Observe your teacher, your classmate, everything. Then come out to work, observe. Develop all the exposure and understanding. Because if you don't have that type of high craving or what, the house is already there, understand? Car also, they can manage themselves. So I say, you want to do whatever you do. I even tell them, you go academic better, go and do research, stay in the university, no need to work. Good life. Then you have sabbatical leave, full pay and study. I say, this is what you can do. But they choose IT, that's why they become what they are. And because of that, I think Sui lucky, she retired earlier than me, 40. And she has the understanding to do what she liked before 40. That's what she told us. I said, go ahead. So life is like that. When you have the dana parami, you can afford, you can have the condition, then a lot of things can be done. Understand? Not? Otherwise, you realize a lot of people, they're still struggling. No? Especially after retirement. No? Very fast, their CPF or EPF use up. No? Some within 3 years. No? Then they depend on their children or they have a lot of financial problem. And it's not easy. As you grow old, aging, medical fee, everything go up. And not easy. Okay? So now you understand what is dana, sila, and bhavana. Bhavana is samadhi and panya. Okay? Clear? Okay, I go on. The five daily contemplation, you all understand, huh? What are the first three? Five daily contemplation. Every day the Buddha advises you to contemplate. What are they? This body of ours? Ingbi, start. Yes. This body of ours, the Buddha says, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Means what? This physical body is made out of element, not you, understand? It goes the way of nature. It is subject to old age, sickness and death. Everything in this universe, the phenomena go through this three or four phase cycle. They call it the life force cycle. Birth, sustaining, decaying and death. The universe also same. The first coming into being, birth. Then it, now you call it the expanding universe. Then after that it contract, then it cease. The whole thing gone. So for us same. Born, grow up, get old, decay, then die. Understand? The plant also same. Everything also same. So these are what we call nature's phenomena. So when we contemplate, then we don't have to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. You understand? The reason why the Buddha left the palace is because when he saw the first three signs of an old man, means very old, very a lot of problem. So then he saw a sick man, really sick, suffer and all those things. Then he saw a dead man. Then he asked the attendant, why these people are like that? Who are they? Then the attendant said, in fact, each and every one of us, if we live long enough, we will grow old like this elderly person. Means aging. Aging, getting old, is a problem, like we all know. As you age, your senses fail you, your organs fail you, your health deteriorates, and you have a lot of problems, a lot of sickness and other things. Then like what my brother used to share with a friend, because after my father passed away, The friend asked my eldest brother, "Hey, your inheritance, how much you receive?" He said, "All." When he said, "All," he said, "You fatat already lah. Oh, everything that my father have lah, the high blood pressure, hypertension, cholesterol, all this diabetic, all I have lah." He said, "I inherit one." Oh, then they say, "Well, like that too bad lah." Yeah, DNA, what answer? Who your parent is, retributive karma. What? You cannot run, understand? Not? You expect your father to be Bill Gates, then inherit all the billions that he has. He also don't give, like Warren Buffett. He tell the son, "I give you so much, and now the rest I donate charity." That's why they set up Bill Gates and Belinda Foundation. And now the Bill Gates Belinda split already. So it's separate foundation again. So all these are the understanding that we can develop. So the first three contemplation will give you that wisdom, okay? The fourth one is what? Separation. The reality of separation. Whatever we think we own, our loved ones, our prized possession, things that we cling on to and hold on to dearly, like our reputation and all those things, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. When conditions cease to be, they cease to be. Ingbi saw something. The mist all coming already. You look like heavenly rhyme now outside. And you all can see that also. So this separation is one of the first noble truth reality, the fifth reality. Separation is a reality. When conditions cease to be, it will separate from you. So separation can take place in many ways. When conditions cease to be means your loved ones, when they are down with accident or nature's calamity that strike, or natural occurrences like sickness, disease, heart attack, or they call traumatic disease that hit them, then they die. That separation. The other one, before you die, also can torment you. Relationship separation. Understand? When your spouse decide to dump you, don't want you, want to divorce you, that is also separation. Then forced separation, because of poverty, because of war, because of certain happening, your loved ones, or even your own children, your own sibling, they can separate from you. So separation, when it comes, is a reality. Even your own possession, your own asset or business, when economic crisis hit, it can also separate from you. When you make a wrong decision, a wrong call in life, in investment, you can lose them all. And this is what the reality of life and existence is. When there is separation, you don't have the Dhamma, you will be afflicted. You will become like miserable. You felt like, how can this happen to me? Then some people with a lot of delusion, they attach, they hold on to this, they develop depression. A lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. And sometimes they become mentally very ill. So this fourth contemplation is very important. Because the Buddha said, this is a reality. Not only you subject to the separation, everybody is subject to it. So when the time comes, if you don't have the Dhamma, you will be affected, afflicted. But when you have the Dhamma, he know you, he know me. And this is a reality. I have to accept, understand? When I have this right view, I accept means what? I at peace. It's just like I used to tell Kayamita. Happened already, lament over for what? Like the Buddha in his Jataka story. His own children pass away, there was a story about the serpent that killed one of the sons. He said, whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So what have arisen has come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. You understand not? That's why don't cry, don't lament, don't develop the attachment and the what. These are reality. Dependent originating condition arising cause. When condition cease to be, it ceases to be. Wow, coming in already. Wow, sadhu, sadhu. Alicia, well prepared. I also well prepared. I got my hip pack, everything already. This. So I know this happens very often. That's why warm clothing, you must have enough. So when you understand, you are prepared, you don't have to unnecessarily go through the thing. Understand? Then the last one is what? Law of karma. That one most important. What did the Buddha say? Every day reflect. We are all born of our karma. Recite. We are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If you know that, what must you do? Take care of karma, because everything depends on karma. And you go and believe feng shui and all those things. I wish you luck. Don't go and the feng shui lo come. Maybe he will tell you, your feng shui no good. Then renovate here, renovate there, do this, change this. Your pocket again, one hole. Then after that, how come still like that? Because the one that is responsible is not what you do to your feng shui house. The feng shui, maybe you choose the right locality, the qi flow good, it encourages you to use what? All your good karma first. But after your good karma finish, you think the feng shui environment and location can still help you? Cannot. It's just like, you spend your money early. Your bank account got so much money, So after you spend finish, you think with a good feng shui, you can still have the good karma. Cannot already, understand? But people don't understand. So all these are understanding. If I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, condition, so I am what I am because of karma. I will take care of karma. Then how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha, understand? Because the advice is Dhammapada verse 183. All evil you avoid. Cultivate wholesomeness. This is do good and purify the mind. The last one. So you follow the advice of the Buddha, you are incapable of evil, you are cultivating your karmic inheritance. Means you take care of karma. So sila, samadhi, and panya is what the teaching is. When you have sila, it helps you avoid all evil. Understand? When you have samadhi, it helps you develop wisdom. When you can avoid all evil, the four right effort can allow you to cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, merits. So all this is what the teaching is all about. So you follow the advice of the Buddha, you are going into the cultivation. You are walking the spiritual path to develop a good karmic nature, to have the good life. So if you don't take care of karma, there is nothing else in the world that you do will help you. You need to take care of karma. That's why there is a very important understanding behind the teaching. So if you know this right view with regards to karma, if you follow the advice of the Buddha, your life will change, will transform. And this one, no need money. No need to pay feng shui law, no need to do renovation, no need to spend big money here and there. No need. And no need to buy the one that protect you. Amulet or what? I was told at one time in Thailand, 50,000, 100,000, oh, they say this one, special monk one, Arahant one, worth how much and all those things. So you believe in that, you know why or not? Because in the past, you also peddled this type of business, understand? You, now you become victim. You go back to this. Because last time, you also deceived people through all this. So take care of karma means, whatever negative that you don't want it to come to you, don't do. That's why avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. Okay, we finish. Yeah? Then we go to the next one. To silence our mundane mind. So this one now you understand what is a mundane mind. Eh? What is a mundane mind? The thinking mind, the chattering mind, the dependent originating mind. The one that arises through causes and conditions. It's not intrinsic within your nature. So this is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, that do all the mundane thinking activity. So to silence our mundane mind means what? Don't think, but can you not think? Well, you haven't developed the stability or awareness-based meditation. How can you stop thinking? The more you want to stop, the more thought come out. Cannot. So, please understand that to silence our mundane mind is to develop the understanding that the moment I am without thought, I already aware. That true mind already there. I already silent. Means that nature which is tranquil, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is your true mind, awareness nature. So what you do is you just relax and let things be. Whatever thought arise, let it pass. Whatever thought arise, let it pass. That's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Just lie down or sit, relax, maintain awareness. Silent. Then the silence will come, understand or not? No need to do anything. But that is your true mind. You can continue your method technique. Finally, you will reach this also. Because you will meditate until the sati becomes so refined, until all the breathing becomes so quiet, the rising, falling, all very quiet, nothing move. And that is your true mind. And then only you stay there to realize that. Why not lie down and realize that straight away? Understand or not? Instead of doing all those things, running around and verbalizing, chattering. No point. Understand? So, to silence our mundane mind, to realize the true mind, this is what you have to do. This is what awareness-based meditation is all about. So that we are constantly aware within, without thought. To stabilize the silent mind or meditative mind until the enlightenment factor of paucity. What is paucity? Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. And what is that? That is your true mind, understand? Arises. So to establish a very good daily religious routine for the cultivator to develop a very stable daily mindfulness when they revert back to normal day-to-day cultivation after the 8-day retreat. So this is what you must do, understand? Here you have all the time to settle down, to train it, to stabilize it. Then once you have that stability of mindfulness already, move into the daily mindfulness. If you can stabilize in the retreat, then you go back, you have a chance. But to do it, to make sure that chance materialize, you must have a daily religious routine initially. This is what my teacher Ajahn Yantra taught me almost 34 years ago. He said, must have a good religious routine. You know what is a religious routine? So that it keeps you occupied with your religious cultivation, your spiritual cultivation. So what I did was, in the past, he used to say, every morning when you wake up, pay respect Triple Gem first. For me, later on, I developed the understanding, I say, aware first. Understand? That's why you wake up, the very moment you wake up, I think Cindy will understand. He listened to my CD and he did that. Very good. After that, she become very different. Cindy Chong. Where is she? China. Sadio. She told me, she said, your advice are very good. Aware that you are in the lying posture. Understand? Then after that, aware of how you move, how you come out and arise from that lying down posture. Means if you have a blanket or a comforter or what, how all this movement come to be. Then when you are aware inside, you can see your mental intention and flow. Understand? No? It's not what they tell you, you know. The walking meditation, lifting, pushing. No verbalization one. Then what they tell you is, everything mindful, understand? Mindful. But no, the one that stimulates you to come out is usually what? Your bladder full already, right? You want to go toilet already, right? Or the washroom. Right? And most people, without any awareness, they already in the WC there, relief already. Answering nature's call and relief. But when you have the mindfulness training, like what Cindy followed and went through, you wake up, no matter how urgent the bladder is, no need to worry. You still have the awareness. Then if you have trained your mindfulness, how your hand moves, how it actually removes the blanket or the comforter, then how you intend to turn and move out, everything with awareness. Then how you sit, how you stand. That's why lying down aware, sitting aware, standing aware. Then how you move to your washroom. How your hand open the doorknob, fully aware. Then how you push it. Then how you go into the washroom and how you answer nature's call. No need to describe too detail. How you take off the thing, or no need. Because if you are mindful, you will be mindful of all this action. Then how you sit down, the awareness is with it. Then how you answer nature. Everything that go on within your form and mind, you aware. If you have that type of stability of mindfulness, you are already hitful, understand? And you can see things as they are. You can observe things very clearly. And your mindfulness will transform and develop the progress. Like I told Kong Chai, they are the Singaporean. Notice to ask, how do I know when I have progress? That one, you are wasting your time. Because the person who developed the awareness-based training will understand that sati has arisen. When sati has arisen, the form and mind will know because it saw that awareness and the movement is one. And everything you do, you can have the awareness with it. Last time, you are too busy thinking, panicking, and like the urgency, that one take over the whole process until you become Hitler. Then habitual, you just quickly, how you come out, all the activity in between you never see. And that is heedlessness. When you are mindful, you're completely different. So he said, train that. Then after that, first thing you do, if you need to wash up first, you wash. Then all do mindfully. Then come out, pay respect. For me, I do it differently. I aware. Then if I no need to go toilet, then I will straight away come out with full awareness. Then I will pay respect. No need to go down to the altar. Understand? From your bed, you pay respect. Because Buddha nature is everywhere. Understand? You understand? The Buddha nature is the oneness nature. Yeah. It's just like the Zen story, you remember? You all heard of this story or not? There was a Zen monk. Actually, he's enlightened already. He speed. Then the Nordic monk look at him. How can you do that? He said, this is a temple, way place. Then the old monk asked back, tell me where there is no Buddha nature so that I can speed. the novice monk look at him, you know, oh, still the old monk, the old ginger, more kyung. That's why those who understand, how can you say all you've been rigid is like that? Then last time, when I was teaching, pardon me, this one, it's no fault of that person. But later on, he became my Kayamita. I was sharing the Mahayana Sutta, the Leng Yan Jing and Xing Jing. So when I go to the class, I sometimes put on the floor, then I pay respect. Then they all have this training. It's very disrespect to put the sutta on the floor. Then there was another case when I was teaching meditation in the Cempaka Buddhist Lodge. There was an old lady, I think 70 plus already, sister. She cannot cross her leg now. So I told her, never mind, you can lean against the wall. And she liked to straighten her leg, pointing directly at me. Then there was an outsider who never attend my class before. She also very Buddhist. Wow, he go and tell her off. How can you be so rude pointing the leg at the Buddha and the teacher? He upset that lady, until that lady cannot meditate, the whole session. Then after that, when my class finish, I normally ask, who want to report meditation and who want to share? That lady straight away put out the hand. She said, Brother, I'm very, very unhappy today. I cannot meditate. And then he told me that. Then that lady also still around. So if it were you, how do you answer them? How do you answer them? Resolving it amicably, not antagonizing any of them. I said, don't worry. I said, I will explain to you. I said, so I used the Buddha's analogy. I said, if the Buddha can be angry or unhappy because you point the leg at him, then he is not the Buddha. You understand? That the Buddha is at peace in all situations and all conditions. Then I say, you live in a condo, your altar down there, everybody above walk up and down, you feel offensive. And the earth is round. Everywhere. So why you, instead of taking care of cultivation and the understanding, they become so, what they call, maisona. Well, these are conventional truths, I think. I explained to them. I said, please, when you cultivate the Dhamma, you go for ultimate truth, the understanding, the realization. I said, if I can get angry over this thing, then I'm not a cultivator. Understand? What did I tell you? People are just the way they are. Yeah. Understand? The world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. And for that lady, it's because she is new, and last time she don't have religion. Then when she came to my class, I said, since you elderly, you cannot sit. I said, you can lean against the wall and straighten your leg or whatever. That's why she straightened her leg. Pointing directly to me. What happened? He wants to sit in the middle and listen. And for me, it's nothing offensive. Because this is just the way convention are. What is important is the Dhamma, the Sana. Why you want to be picky about all these things? So when you understand all these examples that I give, you start to develop your own understanding. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to follow what I say. You just find out, investigate for yourself whether this is something that is in accordance with the understanding or not. If you go that rigid way, you are following what they call tradition, what normally people believe in. So, yeah, these are passed down from people who tell you based on their lack of understanding. Then I used to share in the retreat also last time, my father passed away. A lot of my relatives and his friend came because my father is a very good, sincere, very kind person. And the funeral was very, very beautiful and very well run. Then suddenly my father's relative and old friend, they came. Then I got some elderly relative. I also don't quite know them, but they are more elder than my parents. No? They happen to be there. Then this relative came, and we say, you can go and pay your respect. She go, she take three joysticks. No? He wants to make offering to my father and put the joystick down. No? My mother's relative, the old traditional, stop him and very violent and tell him, no! Three joystick mean three person die. He went tell her like that. This one, the husband die only one. Oh, yo. Anyway, I was there. No? I quickly interfere. I say, it's okay. You want to put three also can. You want to put one also can. No, no problem. I say, no offense. Then I tell the other relative, I think it's okay. My father has done a lot of good things. We all, family member, all the siblings, we grew up very well, and we are very well respected by society. So don't worry. I say, this is not important. Your gratitude for my father, your whatever kindness that wants to make you come and pay your respect, we really have a lot of gratitude and we rejoice. I say, thank you so much. Then only quiet down. Then there was another relative, lagi kaulat one. He go and tell my mother, why all your children are no filial piety? Why? Well, we never cry. Understand? All of us were talking, Sui was also there, happy with all the things. Then we saw the paper, how Sui also asked me, saw the handphone. He worked in Maxis. He said, down there got SIM card or not? Got roaming or not? So all those things people cannot understand. So my mother become like fearful because tradition. He said, if you don't have filial piety, if your children all don't cry, your father sure go to hell. I told my mother like that. My mother panic. When I asked all my other brothers and sisters to cry. Then my youngest brother, no. He said, he came and see me. Well, he know I can handle my mother. So he talked to me. I said, don't worry. So I went and held my mother's hand. I said, okay. What have they told you? Then my mother relayed. He said, your father has passed away, my husband. We all must cry. So that it's like a funeral. Understand? I said, okay. You heard from her. Now, can you listen to me? I said, you think you want to act and just cry like that? And like actor and actress in a cinema show to show off that we have filial piety. I say, that is not the way. How they know father will go down to hell? I say, father did so much good thing, did his duty so well. He went back to China, helped the relative, and bring us up, nine of us, single-handed bring up. This type of person, with this type of parami, especially my dad, you think can go down, I say. Then I somehow told my mother, I said, this relative, I heard my parents told me before, they got a lot of problem. Their children, their grandchildren involved with drugs, police case, and all of them, their lives are not good. I said, you want to follow her advice and end up our family become like their family or not? My mother looked at me, like that the one, he said. Then I said, do you remember before father died, that year, 2004, I remember, Sui's birthday, 1 year before that, Chinese New Year, I felt something, I must do something for my father and my whole family. Well, my father was on wheelchair already at that time. I told all my brothers and sisters, okay, this year we go to Thailand, a resort, Hakiao Estate. beside the sea. Bring father, bring mother, all. So the whole of our siblings, family, all there. 40 over to 50 of us. And that year, my father was so happy. We took a family photo with all the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all there. Then my mother was with me and my father was there. Then after the photo, my father said, "This is life," he said. "This is joy." He said, "This is my happiest moment." And my mother was there. Then I remind my mother. I say, "You remember that?" Oh, straight away my mother didn't cry. Really. My mother said, yeah, that time he was very happy. I said, "That is Philippite lah, while they're alive, understand? No? Take them around. Do what you have to do. Not wait till they die, then cry for the public to see. That is not Philippite, understand?" So luckily, because of that, after that, my mother told me, no need to cry. We continue with our way. Then the paper house is still want to burn. No? He said, "Tradition, everybody do, we also do. Like buy insurance like that." Then she also want to call the Namo Lo, no? The Chai Ku. My mother believe in that one. To do the chanting, all those things. No? Then of course, I asked my brother Go Chi Chi, ask the Buddhist associate to come and do the chanting. So the Chai Ku one chant for 3 days, I think. Ours, just for that short duration, I think they come. Then finally, when it come to paying bill, my mother came to know, the Namo Lo or the Chai Ku one, I want to charge her 6,000 something, someone else might know. A lot of addition, not written one. And the bill becomes so much. And my mother got very upset. Go and tell the Chai Ku, "How can you charge me like that?" He said, "You're not scared your husband go down. This one, mhoi wan kao." He said, "Cannot be sai gong ke." Until my mother was so pissed off. Then he asked me, "The Buddhist you asked to come and do one, how much you pay?" I said, "No need to pay anything." I said, "Up to you. You want to offer them anything, you offer. Don't want also, never mind. They come because you requested them and they are Buddhist." I said, "We only offer the meal." Well, then my mother told me, "Next time my time, follow Buddhist way. No need all those tong tong chiang already." See, when she understands, she become different. I say, "Your life, you can know, since China come out after we all came, your life was so happy. Means what we do is correct." Why want to follow the elders, the tradition, and do all these things? I better end. What's the time now? Oh, 3 something on here. What time am I supposed to end the program? Okay, never mind. I finished this part. So, paucity, religious routine, I didn't finish. How can I come to this? I told you, morning, wake up, away. Then pay respect, triple jam. You need to answer, need just call, answer. Then after that, meditate. At least 15 to 20 minutes. Then share merit, transfer merit. So you can chant like our normal puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato. Then you can read it, metta, you read it. Then you silence your mind, you meditate. So all in 45 minutes, you can. If you cannot, then need to go office, need to work, you go. Then wherever got free time, you develop the meditation. Then in between, anything you do, maintain awareness. The daily mind must maintain. Until you move out of the house. Then the first thing you have to do is, whenever you come back to the house, pay respect, triple jamfer, develop mindfulness. Then at night before you sleep, again pay respect, meditate. Then after that, aware before the body relax and fall into the what they call subconscious and unconscious state to sleep. But if you can maintain awareness, try to maintain awareness, and allow your body to rest, but your awareness stay. If you can do that, will be very good. Then your daily mindfulness will develop. Then you can move on to driving, to the office where you work, and to daily activity, you try to continue with the awareness-based meditation, means the daily mindfulness to stabilize your inner awareness, so that you are aware most of the time, so that you hardly think unless required. Then in the meeting also be observant, aware, relaxed, maintain. Your mind become very different, very sharp, very clear, very tranquil, very still. And you become very efficient. You do things very fast. And you have clarity. That's how heedful living can transform you. Your career will improve. You will be liked by your bosses, and you will receive a lot of good promotion and comment until they want you to stay. Well, when I put in my notice for resignation, my boss called me in 3 times to talk to me. He said, "You're still so young at the peak of your career. Why you want to retire?" I said, "Simple life." He don't believe me. Then anyway, I say, for me, very easy to make that decision. Well, my daughter graduated already, I got no more burden already, and I don't need much money to survive. So that is why I decide. He still don't believe, you know, keep on telling me. Then I say, okay, the best I can do is instead of 3 months, I extend to 6 months. After that, he got to hire 6 more engineers together with him, 7 engineers to take over what I do. Then only he realized how much duty I carry. Well, that time I was very efficient, very good. And every time I got a problem, he would send me there to resolve all the project problem and all those things. So that's it. So now religious routine finished. Okay, next one. Bring the books on, no need. This one all we have ready. Okay. Yeah, all this book. Okay, we finish. Now we go to the program proper. Okay, still got time. 3 to 4:15. I supposed to give you your briefing. Okay, any question? I covered almost everything. Because we start early and we save time. Lucky. 4:15 only we have our meditation. We still got more than half an hour. Any question or any other Dharma topic that you want me to share? So far, clear. Sister Song, okay, bo. Tian, tian, bo. Good. Who have me question? Is Simon. Giamai or Sister Song. Oh, don't have. Never mind. Don't have, no need. Don't have, no need. Thank you. Okay, so what I will do is I will read to you all this one. My seminar paper. I also forgot about it until I went out to Singapore when Brother Theo BF reminded that he saw this book. That's how he located me and listen to my video and all those things. This book is a very good book. So this is about success in life via meditation following the Dharma way. Because in the year 2013, I was invited to present a paper at this international seminar on life management with meditation experiences and success. Is co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipavanarang Mindfulness Center, PMC. So I was the Malaysian lay speaker. Every country, they choose 2, 1 monk and 1 layperson. So I represented Malaysia. So opening statement an introduction to the topic. So this is a paper I presented. I said, "Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speaker, seminar participant, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It's indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experiences on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand. If you want to realize our highest human potential, such a seminar can be of great benefits for us to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so in our today's modern society where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh too. Human sufferings are very real, and it is happening almost everywhere, even to our own younger generation nowadays. Understanding life is meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. Part 2. To be successful in life management, we need to understand what life is. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize to us all of his understanding of life, both mundane and supramundane aspects, into just four noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble or Aryan truth because these are the truths that can make you a noble one, if you can understand them. Noble ones are enlightened ones, and they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right view with regards to the law that governs life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves, via their right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are incapable of negativity. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make such a big difference to our life. It is just like we have finally understood the secret of life. And because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great peace, love, joy, and happiness very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain rather harsh reality in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the reality of birth and death, leading to the whole mass of suffering. He said there is a first noble truth of dukkha or suffering that explains clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world, caused by the eight realities of life and existence that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life, irrespective of your wealth, your status, or materialistic success in life. One will still suffer if one has not developed the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. Okay, I read on. There are eight types of the first noble truth reality And they are birth, old age, sickness and death, are dukkha. Separation from loved one, like I explained just now, is also dukkha. And one's possession, like your wealth, your property, your possession, and those things that we hold on to dearly, like your reputation, your whatever title, etc., is also dukkha. Then to be with people whom you don't like is also dukkha. Not able to get what one desire, or when things don't go your way, or when your expectation in life are not met, is also dukkha. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, the five aggregates of grasping, born of sakyadity or self-delusion, is dukkha. When one confronts this reality without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted, and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, and grief, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., leading to depression, will be the end result. In our modern day society, or in our modern day terminology, we call them the problems of life, like health problem, when you are confronted with traumatic disease like cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc., or sudden death due to nature's disaster or accident. Then traumatic diseases and other nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc., or career-related stress and sexual harassment problem when you are with people whom you don't like. Financial problem when you cannot get what you want. Relationship problem, divorce, forced separation, etc. Social and crime-related problem when you are with people whom you don't like, etc. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better, because if you use the traditional teaching, when you talk about old age, sickness and death, they say choi choi choi, they don't want to listen, understand not? But you talk about health problem, they will like to listen. Oh, you also got this type of problem, I also have. But when you say old age, sickness and death, they straight away, this is not what I like, is it? Never mind. Because of all things, they will say this is very pantang. You talk about death, especially. And they are so young, they where got time to listen to all this. But you tell them health problem, there are a lot of young people now have. Very young also, depressive, mental problem. Then a lot of autistic child and all sorts of things happening to the younger generation. Okay, then I read on. Then according to the Buddha, there is the second noble truth that explains to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering. Namely, craving born of our sakyadity or self-delusion. When we have understood what suffering is and the cause behind their arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there. For he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, where there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering. And this is most reassuring. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done via our fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering or cessation of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist meditation. This means this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life's problems. So there is a way to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest. We are wisdom born of Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. We can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment. We are a serene, tranquil mind in heedfulness. I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefit has helped me so much, not only in my study, but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this type of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace, leading to inner well-being of the body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people, unless they know how to train their mind. In time of suffering, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc., born of health or other life-related problems, this meditative inner peace, leading to inner well-being, can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering. Because this inner peace leading to the inner well-being is a very positive calming energy that can help stabilize their mind and boost their immune system, as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to Lord Buddha, it is because of the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, pancha nivaranas, namely sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty of pancha indriyas, of sadha, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. We are understanding how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Then virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to follow his teaching. Sati, which is mindfulness or awareness. Samadhi, collectedness of mind and unwavering mind. And panya, wisdom, born of the direct seeing. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive his great spiritual teaching. Also the Buddha's exaltation before his parinibbana to his disciple, to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless, or apamadena sampadita. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the devilous. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stress on the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also the mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely kayanupassana, vedananupassana, cittanupassana, and dhammanupassana in particular. First, we must train the mind to be silent with inner awareness so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness, to the heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness or heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregates of form and mind arises in you, how thought and feeling arises in you with with every moment of sense experience, or sense door consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is, how your thought condition your feeling, then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view, wrong thought, to grasp and cling on to the external phenomenal world created by our aggregates of mind. This is heedful living, leading to all the suffering, following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas heedful silent mind with inner awareness will bring about the inner peace and inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to the heedless mind that is full of thought, fear, worry, anxiety, conditioned by mental hindrance, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. The meditative wisdom can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment, with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living, following Dhammapada verse 2, as opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life, following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-made. If mind does not deludedly cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, as the me and the I and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, therefore enabling us to resolve issue or problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good sleep and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia and sleep-related issue. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all this benefit, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of life. Importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. This is the third topic. As we all understood, life can be related to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should know how to inquire deep into them and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Obviously, the past is already gone, so no more a reality. Similarly, the future yet to come, so it is also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and it has become the bestseller for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deep is, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. What are you doing? within each and every one of this moment. Remember, the Buddha always said to the bhikkhu, be heedful, be vigilant. Because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead, following Dhammapada verse 21. That is spiritually dead. Our mind and our thought move so fast with each moment of sense or consciousness, and we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? The problem with the world today is most people or most human beings are heedless. And they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so they totally miss out on life, for they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with the thinking and the thought, which are deluded and the thought which always delude them to cling onto the phenomenal world of consciousness as very real. Their thought will project into the future to arise the fear, worry, anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling onto. Likewise, the mind will also recall the hurtful and unhappy past to remind them of their scars of memory, hence triggering of the sorrow and lamentation of their unhappy past again. Not able to see the phenomenal worlds, three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, they will continue to hold and cling onto this. And this is the cause of all their suffering and life's problem. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is a Zen or Zen meditation. Because within the moment, there is just pure awareness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought, so no fear, no worry and anxiety, or whatsoever, but just a silent mind in peace and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of body and mind instead of worrying about life. Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. It will still create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And so long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you. Because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful, so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into phenomena which is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Truth, all the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma, Akaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. Then understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, So this one, I explain the five pancha niyamas. I think I have explained them before. The first two are scientific law, uttu niyama, which is nature's physical law, and bija niyama, which is nature's biological order. These are scientific law. Whereas the other three are spiritual law. It was via understanding these two physical law that scientists are able to progress so fast within the field of science and technology to become so advanced nowadays. Nature's physical law governs the behavior of all physical things. They are related to the law of physics and chemistry, etc. That the scientists have developed good understanding. Then Bija Niyama is nature's biological order that governs the behavior of all organic and biological things within the field of biology, genetic engineering, etc. Like our human body, the plant, the animal, fishes, their behavior are all governed by this law. Then we have the spiritual law. The next three laws are spiritual law, namely kaya, kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So similarly, we are clearly understanding these three other great spiritual law of kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field, to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha fully enlightened one. It was through this perfection of the understanding of these three great spiritual laws that enables him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had taught us. Take for example, the first law of karma, or karma niyama. As the first right view is to understand life, in the five daily contemplation, as taught by the Buddha said, we must contemplate daily, following that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old or decay, grow sick and die, for it is not gone beyond always sickness and death. Then followed by separation, and followed by the law of karma which we have gone through. So the first four contemplations allow us to develop the contemplative wisdom to deal with most of the first noble truth realities of life and existence. Whereas the fifth contemplation deals with the first right view with regards to the law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important, because we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of it. If we have this right view or understanding as our first right view, then what must we do? We must take care of karma. This one we have gone through. How to take care of karma? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful. Via meditation, to enable us to see all our mental intention or chetana behind all our actions, speech and thought process, thereby ensuring or enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, to accumulate good merits and karma, and meditate to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded by it anymore. These are precisely the advice of the Buddha as stated in his Dhammapada verse 183. Then how do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the minimum five precepts. There are people who violate the precepts are evil people with the evil roots. Oh, this one I explained before already. Okay. Then we have the second spiritual law, citta niyama, which is nature's law that governs the mind, the working of the mind. Under this spiritual law, The Buddha taught us the Paticca Samuppada, or the law of dependent origination, or the dwelling. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity or a soul, or an atta that is responsible for our thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. And all the phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising or causal phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent. For dependent on condition, they arise, and they will continue to exist if the supporting conditions are still there. But they will cease to be once any of the conditions that supported their existence cease to be. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way, otherwise suffering will be the end result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can hold on to, cling on to, grasp onto as the I and the me, hence anatta or non-self nature. And this so-called human being, or five aggregates of form and mind, if we cling and hold on to them, then it is sakayadhiti or self-delusion, a very severe or serious wrong view. The third spiritual law is dhamma niyama, which are all the essential dhamma or truth that the Buddha has taught. And the most important one is the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching that we have already covered earlier on. Okay, I will finish off with it, I think. Okay, there is a bit more. Meaning and purpose of life. Once we understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live our life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life has different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being, they don't quite understand life like us Buddhists, but they don't have the Four Noble Truths teaching. For someone who is quite poor, the meaning and purpose of life is just to have the three meals, the shelter over their head, following Maslow's need theory. But for us as Buddhists, we go deeper into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or seeking enlightenment in the here and the now, so that all suffering can cease, leading to the noble life of a noble one. Because we understand the danger of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness. Then two important aspects of life. There are two very important aspects of life. First, there is the mundane or materialistic aspect of life within our existence or conditioned world, followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life, but to them, this is more important. Not knowing that without a spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete, and suffering can still arise despite their materialistic wealth and successes. This was clearly explained by the Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the eight universal reality of life and existence that can lead to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha to be then left the palace in search for the truth, to liberate himself from the three signs of old age, sickness, and death that he saw prior to his renunciation then. Materialistic success within mundane life normally refers to academic success or academic excellence when you are young, career success when you come out to join the workforce, financial freedom to make you feel secure in life, then early retirement to do the things that you want to do in life. Then having an understanding, good and happy family unit, leading to relationship success. So these five things are very important, yeah, for normal people. These are materialistic success. The first four types of successes can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one, relationship success for family unit, is not easy. This one is more difficult to achieve. Well, it needs some form of wisdom and understanding. Let us say you are able to achieve all the above materialistic successes. But is your life really complete and are you really happy and safe? What happens when you are confronted with the first noble truth reality of life and existence? The Buddha said when you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result, as explained earlier on. Hence, one still need to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, this first noble truth life reality can still afflict you. Okay, now the conclusion. At present, my present life in this world was indeed rather blessed. For I not only excel in my academic field, I also reach the pinnacle of my civil engineering career life. I also able to achieve my financial freedom early, fairly early too. And this has enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career some 12 plus years ago at the age of 46 plus. So you add another 11 years, is 23 years already, huh? To do the things that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit, with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends and colleagues are all very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last 24 plus years, now you're at 13, is 37 plus years since 1989. Oh, sorry, at 11, 35 plus years since 1989. I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with my nature to cope with their life's problem. With this, I will end my today's sharing. Thank you for your patience. Thank you so much for your patience and kind attention. But until August 10 to 12, 2013. So this is the book. You can Google from our website. Then you can read through it. I think I brought some in the box there, if I'm not wrong. If you want, you can have them. And those who want to take my copy, you can take also. Okay. So I heard the timekeeper's alarm. So now I think we should continue with the program. Okay, we're supposed to have meditation. So instead of 45 minutes, you may have 32 minutes. Okay, 30 minutes of formal meditation, formal sitting or lying down meditation, and 15 minutes of daily mindfulness training via bowing, Dhamma contemplation, reflection, and inquiry within the vicinity of this temple while in the walking, standing, and sitting posture, to always maintain continuous mindfulness with awareness within. Okay, so now you do your formal meditation. We are off the light so that you can do your awareness-based meditation. Or you want to do your normal sitting, no problem. It's up to you. Most important thing is to stabilize the inner awareness. Whatever object of meditation or skillful means that you have to train your mind, you can use it. Then I will come back at 5 o'clock to have the Q&A session so that we can maybe help you understand better how to cultivate all this. Okay. Then 5:30 to 6:15 we will have our dinner, which is specially catered for all of you today. Tomorrow only your 8 precepts start. Then you can have your rest 6:15 to 6:45. Then after that, be on time. 6:45, we will have our puja, official puja. Then we start our dhamma sharing. Okay.
Brother Teo, I feel that you know I'm thinking something in my mind. I've been cooking for the monk for 1 month twice lah. Vegetarian and Nyonya food lah. So last 2 weeks lah. There's a 5 monks came to my temple.
From
Tibet. We help them cook for them, you know. After cooking, Brother Teo, the last day, because the bus is 7 o'clock, so when I cook for him, that day I was very busy. 4 o'clock I wake up to cook. By the time I give him the breakfast, 7 o'clock, when another group, the waiting group, I cook at 10 o'clock. When I cook, I don't know how come the whole one chicken went into the stove and burned my hand, you know. That's why I want to ask.
My
karma, or because I'm not
don't worry about that, Sister Song. You see, based on the 5th daily contemplation, you will know we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So definitely whatever happened to you during your whole of existence has got something to do with karma. But you don't worry, understand? This thing will come to pass. It will happen. When there is condition for it to happen, it will happen. Especially as we age, understand? Like you say, you wake up very early, understand? Then you have faith. That's why that faith actually give you the energy to do all this. But then, after the monk came at 7, you serve all those days, then you got a second session, understand? 10 o'clock. Nothing to do with that. You, without knowingly, the karmic conditioning set the condition for this karmic to happen. Because you not enough rest. You too tired. And this set for the causes and condition for that past karmic to arise. Because burning the hand is something that you must have caused to other people. Maybe past life or what. How it happened, you don't know. But now, instead of other people created the problem for you to burn your hand, you yourself, through your lack of what they call lack of rest and energy. So you tend to make mistake, understand? So when it happen, accept the reality. Happen already, what?
Yeah.
Understand? What? Like I want to explain, happen already means what? Like car accident. Happen already, what? You want to blame people for what? Then you say all those negative words which are not accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. Like you suddenly go and say, hey, you blind, you don't have eye, why you drive like that? If the fellow violent, he whack you, understand? Before you want to answer you, he whack you first. You created the condition for this. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is to help you resolve things amicably. Don't have all this wrong speech or negative speech that make people emotional, angry, unhappy. So if you do all this, then this thing will not happen to you. Let's say you are that hitless one last time because of that car accident, you do that, then you cannot work. You know what coming is it? In future, you will have people who will disturb you and scold you, abuse you also. Then you don't know how to stop all this karmic repercussion, you also whack the fellow, then you get into trouble. Understand? So your chicken thing, not necessarily chicken, it can be anything. Because if you don't have the condition to fall into the store, you will not go your hand. Understand? Like my daughter, she saw her hand cut. Because he using the soap and the glove. Understand? Then, you know, soap slippery. How to pronounce? Slippery. So, pew, it shot out, understand? Then my daughter want to catch the thing. Yeah, he thought, the plate, ma. Then as it catch, the glass broke. That's why I cut her hand. Then blood, pew, out. And that is what she came to understand. She said, I have to embrace everything in life. Well, this is the reality. Condition like that, things will be, cannot be otherwise. Understand? So, Mikey, kia go away, back karma la, or, wow, bo maifu la. What is all this nonsense? Forget about it, understand? You already do all the wholesome thing and you have the thought that tell you through the fear that this is back karma. You know why this can happen? Yeah, in the past, you also tell people like that. Understand? The guy who got the problem on an accident on, he say, "Ayo, look hok sai mang look back karma la." Now you become the victim la. Look hok sai mang, the chicken fall into the store, your hand go. It's nothing to do with back karma. But this is the condition that manifests for karma to arise. Finish. Understand not? Condition like that, things like that. Mikey xiao yi liao, xiao lui ho yi, understand not? Everything that is wholesome, give you joy, do. Whatever that is not beneficial, forget about it. Don't carry on that wrong view, that conditioning, that thinking that normal people do. Everything also, wow, lu sui un. What is that? If it's not karma, whether lu ho un, pai un, all decided by karma. So take care of karma and forget about what people say. Cultivate. Okay? Sadhu. The rest can meditate. Off the light, off all.